Blog Talk Radio.
Rob Brinkman, go to robbrinkman.com.
gmail.com. Because not only did he put up a first one for me, which we had gone to in March, I think, or January, February. But he had just set one up, but he redesigned it. He found this new format that he was able to use, and he redesigned it so that I could incorporate everything, all the medias that I work in. So I'm really kind of excited about that. It's really been a great journey for me. And to be able to revise and rewrite, revise or edit, you know, the old stuff, or, you know, the spelling or the, you know, grammar or whatever might be a little confusing. This was back, you know, in 04 when I first started writing daily news and views and so on. So, and, you know, I was writing articles before that in 2000 and 2001. I started writing regularly for the Voice News in Winston. It was a newspaper. And, you know, they would always take my my submissions. And also, the interesting thing was is that they were the first sponsors of my radio show, you know, Voice News. It was a great paper. It was around for over 10 years. You know. Ralph Nader used to write in it, all kinds of people. So I was pretty happy that they chose my work and also supported my radio show. Anyway... what I wanted to mention again was to focus back on this on my website tonight, and I wanted to read some of the ones. If you're obviously at your computer, if you want to go and check it out, go to lasteelshow.org, okay, and go boom right to that home page, and you'll see Easter Sunday, which is the first poem I'm going to read tonight. There are four or five categories, actually, or more categories that are on the menu right at the top of the home page. It says audio, book reviews, Friday Night with George Dixon, news, observations, philosophy and metaphysics, poetry, politics, short stories, and videos. Those are the categories of all my work. And everything that then over right now, almost 400 pieces of work are in there: articles, stories, pictures, videos, and they're all categorized under those parts. So, and they also go by month and year, and they're all dated. So you can tell when they were written and put it in historical perspective, because much of it was political, and much of it was involved with the Bush and the Bush years, as well as the Obama years. And anyway, I want to read this first one, and then I'm going to read the next. A couple days ago, I posted this one up. I wrote it back in November 14th, 2007, actually. But it's called Flower Power, and I got a great picture that I took of a flower that I put it on there. It's available on with the essay. And it says, a flower has great power. It has color and scent and grace. It has beauty, fragrance, oneness with nature, and oneness with itself. Flower holds the universe in its most complex or simple design. Flower understands its place and purpose in existence. The flower accepts its fate regardless. Regardless. Lost my place here. I'm so sorry. A flower understands its place and purpose in existence. Flower accepts its fate regardless of its outcome. Its seeds are blown in the wind. Its life takes root in all soils. Its desire is only to live and thrive. It gives its pollen or honey, nourishment or water from the dew of its petals or stem. flower smiles with the sun, cries with the rain, sings with color, dances to the rhythm of the earth and the melody of the wind. I should be like a flower, experiencing the seasons, accepting my fate, being useful to the world in the way I was created to be. If I were a flower, I might be a weed or a solitary wildflower growing toward the sun. I would proudly display my colors wherever my roots took ground. I would move with the wind, drink the rain, bask in the sunlight, and be content with my life. I would be aware, but not care, if I was picked, admired, or ignored by a passerby, harmed by disease, killed by frost, or uprooted by a storm, my fate determined by the seasons. Hope you liked that. I enjoyed writing that. That was a fun piece to write. And this one here I wrote in back a couple of years ago now. It was called Easter Sunday. Back in 2010, actually, is when I wrote this. It's timeless to me. I'm gonna read it. It's called Easter Sunday. I remember the white dresses, pink, white, and blue corsages, white and black shoes, and short or knee-length stockings. I remember kneeling at a rail with innocence as I ate the body of a savior. I remember an old man handing me a round, dry, and tasteless wafer that was hard to swallow. I remember the twins, Judy and Joyce, looking angelic, and Melissa with golden curls. Pretty Pauline flirted with me as she pretended to keep her hands cupped in prayer. I remember Roger tripping over his untied shoelace. I remember my mother's broad-rimmed hat, purple hat, most fashionable then. I remember these memories, but I cannot remember what I was there for. Something about a savior, something to do with religion. I remember my knees were sore from kneeling so long. I was first to stand up and be taught, and then told to kneel down again. They said it had to do with the savior. Something about humility, First Communion on Easter Sunday. I remember the sun was bright and the breeze blew up the dresses and the girls' knees were all red, kneeling too long. I remember Roger stopping in front of me and kneeling down to tie his shoe. I remember Rick's big smile as he pushed Roger while he was tying his shoe. I remember Sister Something looking sternly at Rick and Roger, and I remember someone saying it was all about a savior, something about being born again or being new. I remember my father's movie camera taking pictures of me as I walked out of the church. I remember it had something to do with the savior and communion and Catholics and suits and bow ties and white buck shoes and combing my hair with a part and wearing a clean shirt and underwear. I remember how important it all was to my mother. That's Easter Sunday. Actually, I put that up this Sunday. Since we're doing poetry, YouTube, and it's a 1970 concert by Joni Mitchell and the Woodstock. You know, and it was just, I don't know why. This is one of the most beautiful renditions of that song I've ever heard, and I'd like to play it for you tonight.
Our nation.
rendition of that song, and I have that posted on my website, so you can listen to it anytime you want, right under videos. And but if you wait a second here, I'd like to go back because I do my older posts, and I think that keeping in the metaphysical realm, if you will, with my being, I'd like to read this poem that I put up. I wrote it back February 08, but actually last day of February that year. And this one was called The Unveiling the Face of the One. And I'll just read it. It's not long. But it I hope you enjoy it. Unveiling the Face of the One. We have all seen the face of the One. He stares at us daily from above the clouds. His white and golden rays warm the earth and invigorate our bodies and minds. The One is our guide in the morning and reflects his brilliance upon the moon and stars at night to guide us in the darkness that must come. Foolish men try to veil the face of the One. They cast artificial clouds of pollution into the skies and spray plumes of aluminum particles and bury them from planes. But the One still sees all. It knows all, and it continues to smile upon the oceans and fields and cleanse and renew the world. The One is above and below, within our bodies and within our souls. The One renews and revives faith for the future as it continues to rise in the horizon every morning when our eyes open, or when we open our eyes. When the darkness comes as it always does, the light of day no longer shines. When clouds become more stagnant and storms more fierce, the warmth of the One is first to be evicted by the cold. Look up into the sky when it can be seen without clouds. Look up into the blue of infinite light. Look up into the warmth of the One when darkness invades the mind. Look up and demand all who we know to look up into the sky as well. Look up and see the scars of man-made clouds and lines and patterns of deathly design. There is a great evil rapidly emerging on the earth, so vast it now darkens the global skies. If all people would simply look upward at the sky instead of downwards toward the inevitability of their demise, and ask the One to return the skies to blue, and rid their world of evil, this he would do. And that's Unveiling the Face of the One. That is on my website under poetry as well. I write a lot of seasonal poetry, and nature always evokes that element in me, touching somehow on the universe. I don't know, there's a cosmic connection that I make to it that I can't ignore, you know. It's so real and so connected to me that I feel everything. And during the fall one year, I wrote this poem a couple of years back, and I forget, for some reason that one doesn't have a date on it. But I believe I wrote it back in 2011. About a year ago or so, last fall maybe, and or possibly even the fall before. But let me read it to you tonight. And fall. Leaves begin to change, acorns fall to the ground, and winds blow saw a titmouse suckling her young. As I turned over a board from a pile of wood, her eyes were like onyx stones as she stared at me in fright. Three sucklings attached to her were shaken as she ran away, and a field mouse poked his head out of a clay pot as I rummaged through the shed to find the missing tool. He quickly jumped out of the pot and scurried across the floor towards the door. I looked inside the pot and saw a half-empty bag of grass seed. I realized that I had disturbed his feast. I have noticed these last few days a single monarch butterfly flying in my backyard from one plant to another, especially to the butterfly bush. Its purple blossoms delight the monarch, but how secretive he is to have my garden all to himself. Except for this day's sudden intrusion of a humble white moth, flitting and flirting about the fall flowers. The moth seemed indifferent to the elegant monarch, who appeared to appear slightly annoyed by its presence and reluctant to share his flower, as they tried to ignore each other. Clumsy moth flies to another flower as the monarch slowly spreads its wings and glides to a more choice bloom and decides to stay a while to dine. The autumn air and sunlight brighten my words and music into shortening days of color, changing colors of foliage, the first warning of winter. The dazzling autumn in northeastern wonderland swells the emotions with nature's change as each leaf makes a last bold stance against the fading sun and autumn wind. Festivals and fairs celebrate the harvest with pumpkins and gourds and cornucopias of apples and pears and berries, corn and cabbage, and other bounties on farmers' market tables. Bounty delights the eyes, and laughter and joy abound as the sun shines and music plays, and majesty prevails until the festivals end. Weekenders return to the cities when fall officially ends. The first signs of winter begin, bringing the snow, the sorrow of autumn. I am the last leaf on a barren tree, the brown grass and withered vine, the last bloom among the dying garden, the carved jack-o'-lantern on the frost-covered step. I am the rain-filled clay pot left outside the shed. I am a widower when autumn dies. I am the distant sun, the harvest moon, there are maple and autumn gold, crystal rain, and hoarding squirrel. In fall's pageant of flowers and leaves, I walk against the autumn winds and feel the cold as winter settles into autumn bones. And I have often wondered of what remains in memory. Not until it comes again will I see the colors I lament. But winter, snow, and ice kill all frail life, and dreams fade away or transform into gold. The city of gold and fire resembles the northwestern hills. The radiance of death's desire makes the fall foliage appear on fire. The third dimensional existence transcends to a parallel universe, real to the emotions and intellectually sublime. I am time and space, I am knowledge, wisdom, need, and desire. I am the maker of fire. Today the autumn rains come to quench the living and the dying. The flood mocks builders and believers and tempers of the soul. Hope you enjoyed that. That was kind of fun to read. This is another poem that I wrote October of this year, right after. It was right after the September, I believe it was September, when they started Occupy Wall Street, and it was probably in October when they started all getting arrested and the movement started to take hold last year in New York City and Boston and so many places. And it was autumn, and I wrote this article, or this poem. It was inspired by Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, as well as the fall, and kind of synchronizing the two. Autumn wind unleashed from hell, disrupting the peace and prosperity of time, lashing for a moment as a flash of memory in an absent-minded mind. A demon's eyes were on fire. Hatred was its only desire. Then the demon took flight as a flame of fire into the night. I heard its guttural growl in the wind as I stood firmly in resistance with a clenched fist and magically marked words on a cardboard sign. That's what. That's all we got, folks, is a cardboard sign. You know, my website is a cardboard sign. I mean, you know, this show, they're all cardboard signs, you know, just keeping the ignorance away, you know, keeping the bad stuff away, keeping the demons away, lightening the, you know, lighting the fires, the fire maker, you know. Maker of virus. Yeah. Anyway. Let me go on from there. Still get quite a bit of time. I hope I'm not boring anybody with these, but I don't get a chance to read much of my own poetry. And I'm going to do that tonight for a change, I think. But I get it on, it's a feature on my, it's one of the major features on my website, including observations and news reports and Friday Night with George Dixon and book reviews, audio, radio shows that I'm doing, radio shows I've done, short stories, videos, politics. So there's a metaphysics. So there's a tremendous number amount of stuff on here that I've written about that you're going to have fun with. The inland hurricane, this I did in August of last year, right after we had this huge hurricane that came in, and it affected the inland of Connecticut. And I was there, here, living here, while it happened. And it was, I shouldn't forget the name of the, it turned out to be a tropical storm, but it was devastating. I forget the name of it, but it happened last August. This is called the Inland Hurricane. Hurricane winds slash the coastline while inland trees bend and break upon houses and power lines, rooting off roofs, blowing off roofs, roofs and doors, breaking windows and flooding floors. We watch the trees that surround the house sway, threatening with each blown branch to shatter a window. Slashing rains feel like needles against my face as I rush outside to secure the shed door that blew open and was banging loudly in the wind. The rusted metal wind chime sounded like an alarm as it rang ceaselessly. Oh my God, the rain is falling in sheets. I hope it doesn't drown all of my flowers and garden, she said, as she watched and listened to the rain bang against the window panes. Lights flickered on and off as appliance clocks turned time to zero. Will it get worse? Will it last long? Will it last through the night or subside? These present urgent questions repeating constantly in a looping thoughts in our minds. The dog and cat were in their respective parts of the house, dog defending the front door and the cat asleep in her basket, the wind and rain having no effect on her afternoon nap. How calm she remained, not at all flapped by the ferocity of the hurricane or the dog barking at the intruding knock at the door by the wind. How calm she remained until the hurricane passed over the house and town, leaving our home virtually unharmed, and the flowers and garden survived and was revived by the rain. The next day the sun came out again. This is another poem that I wrote, and it's not very long. But I put up a self-portrait that I did back in the 90s of Maybach, and going through some strange, rough times. But I had writing a lot of poetry and doing a lot of poetry venues, reading my work, you know, slam poems, slam poetry, and, you know, different menus that you could read. And I really started to enjoy writing my poems and writing and reading them, performing them. And so it was about this time that when I was introduced to this whole this whole group of poets, gypsies, you know, the old gypsy poets, you know, who just, you know, toured around the state, and some of them, it was around the country, performing their poetry. Some were absolutely brilliant performers. I don't include myself in there as a brilliant performer, but I did write a pretty damn good poem, and I was noted for that. And but you know, my performance was a little shaky, because I couldn't memorize to save my life. I had to read, so it kind of killed the performance. Especially when you have professional actors reading stuff, you know, it's really. It's really difficult, but you really want to. It's something you want to do if you're a performer. You get a chance to do it. But anyway, this getting back to this, I posted this back in quite a while ago, and about a couple months ago, back in February. And it's called The Poet. We met at a time when vice was the only virtue I knew. One dark, cold night, a poet knocked at my door. He was beaten down, homeless, drunk, and cold. He continued to knock until I answered. That's it, folks. This is a this is called Listen to the World Cry. I wrote this a few years ago. When I was, I just couldn't hold back. I couldn't hold back criticizing the mainstream media, or criticizing the world, for that matter. So I wrote this kind of rambling poem, and I can't really call it anything other than that, because basically that's what it started out to be. And this is the way it is. Hear the artery of oil bleeding into the ocean's deep. Let me preface this, by the way. This was, I wrote this on May 27th, 2010, which was about a month after the huge BP oil spill. And I guess it just grabbed my attention. Hear the artery of oil bleeding into the ocean's depth. Hear the dolphins and whales suffocating cry. The slaughter of all sea creatures for greed, overseen by all who say nothing, do nothing, are nothing. Fools lost in the labyrinth, seduced by media whores with names like Meredith and Jane, Robin, Susan, Katie, Mika, Amy, Sarah, Denise, or Rachel, and amused by flamboyantly stupid weathermen singing off-key to big-breasted traffic reporters with whitened teeth. Millionaire liars are masked as men with names like Matt and Al and Willard and Joe and Willie and Pat and Mort or Mayor, Senator or Congressman, foolishly talk about politics, oil spills, stock market crashes, bank bailouts, bombers, big breast implants, babies, basketball, and Obama. Aging flesh enhanced by Botox, collagen, lipstick, mascara, and color contact lenses, blonde, brunette, and red-headed wigs, pasty faces, sculpted breasts and legs, as mannequins displaying stylish skirts and dresses and the latest fall and spring fashions. The mesmerized television viewers could never know how serious the world problems are or how incompetent the media's response is. The news is served with a pretty smile and a wink by your favorite morning news waitress. Right? Viewers prefer their news like their morning coffee with cream and sugar and a sexual arousal by a big-breasted, cross-legged lipstick smile. Right? As the world bleeds, mankind devastates all living things. Mascara-faced smiles with sprayed hairdos disdainfully condemn celebrities' addictions, a president's sick joke, a sexual affair by a living corpse, or the death of another child, a mother, madman, soldier, or policeman. How odd, how needless, how trite, how worthless are they, and what they say, and all who watch them. They defend their silly, celebrated selves by showing how they can laugh at a skateboarding dog or a swimming cat, or to make news light and palatable like a morning pastry or after-dinner dessert. Welcome to the worm-filled world of the wasted and withered, sick and mentally starved and a penal colony world. We continue to disparage and disillusion the young. Hopelessness abounds within the confines of the matrix where schools and universities are ruled by automation, automatons, and pledges to patriotic nihilism. At 6 a.m. noon, 6 p.m., and again at 10 p.m., and 11 p.m., the news mannequins appear on display, repeating the same news of the week, month, and day with AP news clips and meaningless cliches. All the world bleeds and the oceans are poisoned. Corporations rake in profits as governments are brought and paid for to overlook their crimes. Welcome to the final days of man. I am appalled by so many who do not care. Those few who cry out our complaints at the top of our lungs onto the deaf ears of the masses stand firm against the onslaught of the blind men running wildly with knives and guns, killing each other and the innocent. Come, come, we call to them. Hear our voices and take aim as we mock the armies of blind, deaf, and dumb and call them cowards and idiots for not knowing their own strength. Murderers are cautioned by moralists to hate and kill only those selected to die. War, mercy killing, and human depopulation is called. I show no mercy to anyone who plans my demise. In the world of anarchy I exist, here it is easier to understand chaos than madness. In chaos, the water flows upwards. Life forms prefer other directions to travel and grow other than up or down. Options for worldly success are pointless to all who exist in chaos. In chaos, all decisions, all needs, wants, and desires manifest. There is no one to stop them. The stampede of cattle from the stockades of failed institutions, running to the streets, tearing off their clothes, babbling nonsense as the chaos continues, and the homeless are replaced by executives wearing sandwich signs and three-piece suits. In chaos, politicians are hung by their necks until the gun beneath the Capitol dome. Money and influence no longer exist. The greedy are impotent, and only the poor are strong as they rise in mass against the wicked leadership of the world. Listen to the world cry. See the tears of billions recreate the oceans, and monster-headed moguls are destroyed by revolution. Leaders appear from the underworld. gasping for air beneath chemtrailed skies, dying of thirst and hunger from polluted water and poisoned food. This is the great plan, not divine, but the plan of the most wicked and ignorant of men. We who are at war with them know who they are. They are all who live in gated communities, isolated by their wealth and apathy, driving in luxury cars. They are the greedy, degree-driven, mindless morons ruling the world by proxy. They are their imbecile assistants who work for them and do their evil master's bidding. They are everyone who turns away from dying men, women, and children and walk or drive over them as they lay bleeding in the streets. They are the robbers, murderers, and thieves. They are the ministers and priests. They are the presidents and prime ministers of countries. They are all the hateful, cruel, selfish, and stupid people who are dying, and will continue to die without knowing they committed suicide. So, listen to the world cry. I don't know where this stuff goes or where it comes from, but I enjoy writing it. I enjoy people reading it. So that's what it's meant to for. That's what it's meant for. Of the universe, I guess, which we all all seem to, we all work on, more or less. This is a short one that I wrote a while back, and it's called A Few More Words. I remember when autumn cried and the winds blew their tears and leaves away. I remember our leaves on the now barren trees. They were beautiful and flaming red and gold, glowing in sunlight before they died. I was into that.
Shock bankers do not wonder why the world wishes.
wishes them death. In their solid, mausoleums lay the souls of dead bankers and merchants buried with their money, as maggots eat their cash and flesh. What a farce to all who would strive to emulate the ambitions of these eternally dead and damned. Go to the wind and ask for its freedom. Go to the sky and ask for its sunlight. Go to the ocean and ask for its mystery. Go to God and thank Him for life. Time and space are but physiological colors which the eyes make. But the soul is light. Where it is day. Where it was is night. History is an impertinence and an injury. If it be anything more than a cheerful apology, a parable of my being and becoming. The Ralph Waldo Emerson and Self-Reliance was that last paragraph. The rest is all mine. He still speaks to me, and it still hopefully speaks to someone else. That's the best you can hope for, you know. This is one of my favorite poems. I wrote this a number of years ago, and I still get a kick out of it when I read it. I don't know why. But it's called Once Upon a Time, There Lived an Old Toad in a Weed-Filled Garden. This is called Tequila and the Toad. He was content with his life as a toad. He spawned several ponds full of tadpoles, and had his share of lady toads. One day, as the old toad went for a stroll through a garden, he noticed his favorite toadstool had been stepped on and crushed. He was very upset and had to find another stool quickly before the sun reached high noon and it got too hot. Well, he jumped here and there and quickly looked for another toadstool to sit on or to sit under when the sun got too hot. As he began to panic at his dilemma, he noticed a bottle of tequila laying nearby with some tequila left in it. The bottle was open and half empty and laying on its side. The old toad jumped over to the bottle of tequila. As he got closer to the bottle, he noticed the liquid was close to the edge, and he decided to taste it. He was very thirsty, and it was getting quite warm out. The toad decided he liked tequila and decided to drink the remainder of the liquid in the bottle until he became unconscious. The toad was very content and very happy as he slept through the rest of the afternoon and into the night. And that one was for all you tequila drinkers out there. I got one more minute. Sure. This is a good one. Sure. It's called The Heat Wave. This was back in June 08 when it was hotter than a pistol down here. In the brain-sweating heat of a June afternoon, the illegal breeze blows into the room. The air-conditioned hum makes the cat scratch at the door, at the screen door to come in. Sweat on my face is preferable to a chlorine and urine bubble bath at a public pool. The dog pants heavily as he breathes in nicotine before the smoke curls upward toward the ceiling. Hot asphalt singeing the soles of shoes as oil vapors rise off the pavement. A blonde lady in a bikini walking down a private street looks for a private pool with no one home. The afternoon sun is hidden. It's half hidden in the mist of a chemtrail sky. The birds are slightly audible, hiding in the shades of leaves, awaiting the feast of early evening mosquitoes that swarm near and on window screens. The heat wave is supposed to break the state record today, reaching 97 degrees with 70% humidity. And that brings us to the end of our show. I was hoping I could get a couple more in, but you can read all of these and so many more, many more, works that I put up there, all my stuff, all my writings, music, articles, and whatever. And I got a copy of my book. You can go to Amazon.com, take a look at it there. You can play my show on my site. Just go to lasteelshow.org and hit listen live, and it goes right to my show page. There's all kinds of fun things here on the site, and I really hope you enjoy it. I hope you come down and see me at the lasteelshow.org. All right? And there's so much for that. Please join Lila and myself tomorrow night when our guest will be none other than George Dixon. We're going to be talking about the polar shift and evidence of what's happening now, seismic evidence that's quite frightening, actually. A recent tornado, tornadoes, but a recent earthquake in Mexico, big earthquake in Indochina, or Indonesia, and a series of minor earthquakes in California and South America. So we'll be getting involved with that topic, as well as move on to significant events that are about to happen. And that's it for now. So join us tomorrow night right here at 8 o'clock with George Dixon. And I hope you enjoyed the show, and please visit LASteelshow.org.